Our first reading is from Psalm 19, which can be found in the Church Bibles on page 552, or in the large print versions on page 980. This is a psalm of King David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, or like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel can be found on page 1082 in the Church Bibles in the pews, or page 1909 in the large print version. So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 14, verses 6 to 9. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. So as we remain standing, a brief prayer from our psalm this morning. Heavenly Father, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I've known my father-in-law for about 35 years. I know quite a lot about him. I know that he's a very good artist, and that by looking at his pictures, I can learn about him. He's also a good poet. By reading his poetry, I can also learn something different about him. With his art, I know that he's creative. With his poetry, I can read something and understand something of his mind. But the best way that I have of knowing my father-in-law is through simply talking to him. And so this morning, in this psalm, we're looking at how God reveals himself. C.S. Lewis called Psalm 19 the greatest poem in the Bible. In this great psalm, the author, traditionally King David, speaks of God's majesty and power and ways that God has revealed himself to us. First, we learn God reveals himself through his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Now, apparently, there are 100 billion galaxies in the universe, give or take. And each galaxy has 100 billion stars, or thereabouts. That's 10,000 billion stars declaring the glory of God. 10,000 billion stars proclaiming the work of his hand. Just as an aside, the Hebrew word here for hand speaks of an open, creative, generous, giving hand. It's a feminine noun. The Hebrew word for fist, on the other hand, is a masculine noun. So David looked up at the heavens and saw God's glory filling the night sky. In our culture, where we spend so much time inside, or our neighbourhoods are lit up 24 hours a day, we rarely experience the majesty of a starry heaven. But when we do, it's often overwhelming. Words simply cannot do it justice. Awe and wonder speak to us at a much deeper level than mere words. Abraham Lincoln apparently once said, "I never behold the stars that I do not feel that I am looking into the face of God." In Psalm 8, David also wrote, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" The heavens are so mind-blowingly awesome that David wondered why God even gave him a second thought. Perhaps we know that feeling. Who of us has not gazed up at the stars in awe and wondered, "Who am I in all of this unfathomable vastness?" But God did give David a second thought, and David knew it. When David looked up into the heavens, he saw a God who was not only powerful, but a God who also loved him enough to let him appreciate the beauty of what he was seeing. What an incredible gift we have been given, the ability to appreciate beauty. Yet, how often do we take the time to use it? A poor life this, if full of care. We have not time to stand and stare. So while the heavens declare God's majesty and power, God's written word reveals other truths about God. In the sing-song poetry of verses 7 to 10, we learn that God's law is perfect, meaning it's complete, wholesome, and faultless. It's trustworthy, that is, dependable, solid, and true. It is right, meaning upright, straight, and level. It's radiant, meaning pure, clean, and sincere. It is sure, that is, reliable, stable, and continual. It's righteous, meaning that it's morally, ethically, and legally right and just. It's precious in that it's of immeasurable value, and its sweetness delights us as we taste that it is good. Now, David's Bible was much smaller than ours. There was no New Testament because this was hundreds of years before Jesus was born. There were no prophets like Isaiah or Ezekiel or Jeremiah. There were some books of Israelite history, but most of what David knew were the books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that was what David was praising here. The law, the precepts, the commandments, and the rules. He declares that the rules revive the soul. They give us joy. They make us wise, give light to our eyes. They are more precious than fine gold and sweeter than the sweetest honey. Why might David love the rules so much? For the Israelites, the law was proof of God's covenant with them. God's covenant to be their God and to be faithful to them. The Israelites saw the law almost as a wedding contract between God and them. So like wedding rings are signs of a bride and groom's binding promises, so the law was the sign of God's binding promise to the Israelites. God loved them and cared about them enough to care what they did. And he gave them the law to prove it. Now David had also known the chaos of lawlessness, both personally and through Israelite history, when they had wandered from God's law. And he would also have known the laws of the surrounding nations, laws that included human and child sacrifice, that upheld slavery and oppression, that gave no thought or care for the widow or the orphan. Now, yes, the Old Testament law talks a lot about God's judgment and wrath. And some people read the Old Testament and complain that God seems so angry and judgmental. But that's not the way that David saw it. David saw a God who defined what evil was and hated it. He saw a just God who punished evildoers and rewarded those who sought to do the right thing. David saw the benefits of keeping God's law both personally and nationally, and he knew the power of God's written word to transform and to improve the lives of those who would obey. But as much as David understood the love of God from creation and from his word, there was one thing that David did not know about God's love. He didn't know the truth of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did something in giving his Son that neither the stars nor the scriptures could begin to reveal to us. The stars may be beautiful, but they are distant and mysterious and way out of reach, no matter how much money we waste trying. And while the Bible is mighty and has the power to transform us, words on a page in a big book can seem difficult to understand to people who aren't bookish. But when God gave us his Son, he revealed himself in flesh and blood. Jesus came to reveal the Father. As Paul tells us in Colossians 1, Jesus is the exact image of the invisible God. And from our gospel reading, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And so it was in God stepping down out of heaven and becoming a person that we understand just how much God loves us, as he gave of himself in flesh and blood. So God reveals himself through creation. He reveals himself through scripture. He revealed himself through Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. To paraphrase the writer Max Lucado, the tongue that called forth the dead had a thick accent. Hands that touched the sick had dirt under their nails. Feet upon which the woman wept were calloused and grimy. His tears came from a heart more full of love, yet more able to be broken than yours or mine has ever been. And people came to him in their thousands. They came to him at night. They touched him as he walked down the street. They followed him wherever he went. They brought their sick to him. They invited him into their homes. They placed their children at his feet. Why? Because he wasn't like anyone they had ever known. He didn't stand over them like the teachers of the law, pointing out their faults. And he didn't stand apart from them like the priests who were afraid of being unclean. He didn't stand over us, and he didn't stand apart from us. He chose instead to be God with us, Emmanuel. In all of the muck and all of the mess that we face in our lives, Jesus chose to come and be with us. He rejected no one who came to him, and all who came to him were healed. And on the night before he died, at supper with his friends, somehow knowing that they would need something tangible, something that they could hold, something that they could touch and feel and taste, to remind them of him, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." God reveals himself through simple, everyday things like bread and wine, if we have faith to see and receive. And as we leave church this morning to go back to our homes, among our neighbours, or to work later with our colleagues, or at leisure with our friends, God reveals himself to the world now through us, his church, the body of Christ, as flawed and imperfect and muddled as we are. Who are we that he should trust us that much? And if that's not amazing enough, as we go out into the world, we never go alone. Because last, but by no means least, God reveals himself through the Holy Spirit, who lives now in us, to teach us and guide us, to encourage us and comfort us. For you are God's temple, and God's Spirit lives in you. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for all of the ways that you make yourself known to us, through the beauty and diversity of creation, through the wisdom of scriptures, through the love of Christ, through fellowship with each other, and through your Spirit within us. Help us to see you in all, to hear you from all, and to show your love to all. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.